story of the power of Jesus to free somebody from being bent over, from being bound, from being unable to move. There's a book written recently, there's a lovely chapter in it, in which the author, Robert Barron, who teaches out in Chicago, compares the narratives, these short incidents, these what they call anecdotes, what we call them, but they call them pericopes in the Bible, you know, this story like this. He says, it's like an icon. He said, and he's quoting another person who lives in Chicago, Jean-Luc Marion, who's a philosopher. Marion says, you know, the difference between an icon and an idol is that the idol draws you to itself, whereas the icon draws you through itself to God. Now, the stories in the scriptures are like icons. If you ponder them, if you look on them, if you let your spirit really regard them, you're drawn through them to Jesus. Now, it's a very, very true statement. Now, we've taken 20 of these incidents, most of them biblical narratives, and made the rosary out of them, which is great. It's the same thing. Gazing on these realities, these things that Jesus did. You know, they rejoiced at the splendid deeds done by him. Well, we have the icon today, you know, in this story. And it requires that same kind of gaze, time. You know, I remember the first time I went to Florence, about 1958, I think. And I went into the Convento di San Marco, the where the Dominicans used to have their place. And in almost every cell, Fra Angelico had painted a fresco for one of his brothers. Some of the great collections of his art. And you know, I was there about 7 hours, all day, just looking. I don't think I even finished looking at them all. Because he had this gift of letting the inner radiance of whatever the incident was shine out and draw one into Jesus. He's beatified now. He'll be canonized one day. I think the first artist, you know, painter artist, canonized. So you see, if we were to take this incident now and look at it that way, this is what St. Ignatius did, by the way, right? If you ever, you know, the way he teaches us how to meditate, it got to be very mechanical, like everything, you know. The genius does something and everybody codifies it and then tries to can it and sell it, you know, and just go with the genius, never mind that. You look at this, and you see Jesus in this synagogue. Stop a minute. This is God. This is the living Son of God, made man, in the synagogue, not running the service, just there. And there was a woman there. He was teaching. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And as he was teaching, he noticed this woman. And of course, with his vision, you know, he sees all the demons wherever they are. Not a one of them hidden from him. And he sees this woman bound over, and he knows it's the work of Satan. So he calls out to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And then he went over, and he laid his hands on her. What a marvelous, marvelous manifestation of God and of what he wants to do for every one of us. Set us free from the things that bind us. The leader of the synagogue was pretty upset. Hardly because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, but that's the, he invokes a principle here. Because all of a sudden, everything's out of control. There's this man standing there who can say to somebody, "You're healed," and they're healed. Instead of saying, "Who can this be? Is this Elijah? Is this Jeremiah? Who is this? Who's back among us like this?" No, he gets all upset. Says there's 6 days you can work. Don't come on those, you know. Don't get to get healed like it's a work, you know. And Jesus, again in his mercy, invokes the custom of the day, which is enshrined in the Mishnah, you know, that you can untie your animals and bring them to water, even on Shabbat, even prescribing what kind of knots you can tie and what kind of knots you can't tie. But it's a principle. By this time, in our Lord's day, the Mishnah was not written yet, but this was the opinion of most of the rabbis, obviously. You're not going to let your animal on a hot day be without water all day. Is that keeping Shabbat? So he says, you see, does not each of you on the Sabbath, hypocrite. See, hypocrite means I want approval from men. And holy means I want approval from God. That's why our Lord keeps talking about your Father knows what you need. Please your Father. Pray to your Father in secret. Okay, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath and so forth. This daughter of Abraham, one of us, huh? One of God's people, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, he knew how long she had been bound. You see? Ought she not have been set free on the Shabbat? And of course, God's little folk get it. Of course. But you see, this is not, as he's often told, you see, this is not Jesus, the disturber of the peace, upsetting all these narrow-minded legalists. This is Jesus, the eternal, merciful Son of God, who's just as concerned about the leader of the synagogue as he is about the sick woman. And so he takes the trouble to give him an argument that he should understand. Don't most of the Pharisees grant that you can untie your animal and lead them to water? Then why not untie this woman? To win him over. Now that's the story. What do we do now? Well, and you can, you know, you could take this story today, put it in your rosary, start with this one, or put it wherever you want, and just pray so that your heart begins to take the perspective of Mary, and with Mary, gaze on this reality until it starts to really change your heart. Because you see, our Lord, right now, is the one who forever is fixed in radiant glory as the one who healed this woman. So the healing, when the gospel writers are writing, they're not just writing, he did this and he did this and he did this. It's not a biography like of Abraham Lincoln. It's not to perpetuate or spread or defend the memory of a dead master. It's to put us in touch with a living Lord. That's the gospel. They're not biographies. They're proclamations. Jesus did this. And he will do this for you if you spend time gazing on the wonder of this. And if you put it in your rosary, you can do it with Mary. Just Mary sees all this now in glory. The things that she either heard about or saw herself in the life of Jesus. What's her take on this? You see? Until finally, the reality itself, Jesus, healing, now, touches us. Then the gospel has done its job. It's an icon. It's drawn us into Jesus. Not just a porcelain piece. You read, you know, he did this, he did this, I was really glad, and he beat up this stupid guy who wanted us to, oh, we got it, move on. No, you don't got it. until the compassion and truth of Jesus Christ heals you. Then you got it. Well, that's going to take a while. That's right. So turn off the television and take the time on this. These are precious, my friends. This is how we get to know Jesus. Jesus, who is glorious in heaven and whose power radiates this morning, right now, through this text to every one of us.